Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us, and I hope and pray that this program will be a blessing to you. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles while I preach, I'm going to be preaching from John chapter 17. I've been going through the book of John, the Gospel of John, and I'm going to begin here in verse 20. I'll give you some context for this, though, and the title of the message today is Those Who Shall Believe. Those who shall believe. Now, this is what I've stated throughout these messages in this chapter, John 17, that this is the Lord's Prayer. I've continued to emphasize that the model prayer found in Matthew 6, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that's the model prayer where Christ was teaching his disciples how to pray. And it's a great prayer, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's the Word of God, and it's what the Lord stated to His disciples, teaching them concerning prayer. But here is the Lord's Prayer. This is the Son of God incarnate, the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of His people, the surety, the substitute, the Redeemer, the preserver of His people, praying to His Father on behalf of His people, which are the elect of God, the church. He calls them His brethren. And they are those who will be brought to faith. That's why I'm titling this message, Those Who Shall Believe. And that's an important thing because the way He prays here. And so He's, you know, the Bible teaches Christ, that Christ is the mediator, the one mediator between God and men. And that's important because, you know, so many people, they think that there's other mediators between God and men, and there's not. The Catholic Church, they say Mary is a mediator, or they'll say some of the old saints, the apostles, are mediators, but they are not. Christ, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, the God-man, Christ Jesus. And to pray through anyone else is blasphemy. And I'm not trying to be confrontational there. It's just true. And that's what I'm here to do on this program, to preach the truth as it is in the Word of God. But He's been praying for His people. He started out, He prayed for His disciples, the ones that were there with Him. And then he said He's not praying for the disciples alone that were with Him, but all of His people, which God gave Him before the foundation of the world. That's the elect of God. God chose a people and gave them to Christ and put all the responsibility of their salvation upon Him. And that's what the covenant of grace is all about. All the conditions, all the stipulations, all the requirements of salvation for the people of God are squarely upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ alone, the Lord of glory. That's what it means in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7 when it talks about how the government is upon His shoulders. That's the government of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the government of grace. So, and that's where the gospel is defined very precisely. The gospel teaches salvation for sinners, conditioned not on the sinners, not even on their faith or their repentance. They will have faith and they will be given the gift of repentance because that's necessary but not as conditions they must meet in order to attain or maintain salvation. The gospel teaches that all of salvation is for sinners is conditioned on Christ, the Savior of sinners. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20 that all the promises of God, and that's all the promises and the blessings of salvation, are in Him, that is, in Christ, yea, and in Him, amen. So they're sure and certain in Him. He's the surety of the covenant. So it's all conditioned on Christ. And so when He prays for His people here, He's praying for those whom He identifies as those whom the Father had given Him. Back here in verse 17 of John 17, He says, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. They are going to be set apart by the truth, empowered by the Holy Spirit, who brings them to faith in Christ. And I've talked about that, sanctified through the truth. People don't understand the biblical concepts of sanctified, sanctification, and holiness. They're the same thing. And both words mean to be set apart, to be brought out from the world, let's say. And Christ, He was set apart. And he said, I sanctify myself. So when we think about sanctification, we got to think about what is it specifically in the Bible that sets God's people apart from the world. And it's the gospel that they believe. It's not what they wear. Now, that doesn't mean that we can throw caution to the wind and wear anything or whatever like that. But that's not what sets a Christian, a true Christian, apart from the world. The world can get involved in that kind of stuff. Paul talked about it in his epistle to the Colossians when he talked about how taste not, touch not, handle not. That's worldly religion. And the reason, and are there things that believers should not taste and touch and handle? Yes. But that is not what sets them apart from the world. Worldly religion thinks that taste not, touch not, handle not is their salvation, their righteousness. They measure righteousness and salvation by what they don't do. So, but that's worldly. And Paul called it that in Colossians, I believe it's chapter 2, that why as though like the world are you involved in those things as if that's what sets you apart? Well, it doesn't. So what sets God's people apart? It's the truth. And that's what he says in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Christ sent his disciples into the world to preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, preach preach the truth. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the confession. Baptism is not salvation. Baptism is water baptism, the ordinance. That's the confession of salvation. New Testament confession. And so he says, I've sent them out into the world and to preach the gospel. He didn't send his disciples in the world to change the environment or to be a mission of charity. Now, again, don't get me wrong. Does that mean that we're not supposed to be charitable people? No, we are supposed to be. But that's not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is not to set up soup kitchens or homeless shelters. That's not the mission of the church. Now, if people want to do that, that's good. That's okay. But the mission of the church is to be a light in a dark world. The light of Christ, the light of God's Word in a dark world. But look at verse 20 or verse 19. He says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, what he's saying here, how did Christ sanctify himself? Well, before the foundation of the world, he set himself apart for the task that was given him by the Father in the covenant of grace. And how does that work out? Well, God, as I said, God chose a people and gave them to Christ and put all of the responsibility of their complete salvation on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, agreed willingly to do what the Father gave him to do. He wasn't forced, but he did it willingly. That's what we need for salvation. We need a person who, number one, is appointed of God, and number two, who is able to save us from our sins, and number three, who is willing to do so. And Christ meets all three. He's the only one appointed of the Father. Again, one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. No other one was appointed. I quote a verse all the time, Acts 17:31, which says that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath appointed, in that he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one appointed. The second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, is the only one appointed by the Father to be the Savior of the people whom the Father gave to him before the world began, and no other one. So he was set apart for that task. And when he came to earth, he was set apart from men. He is God manifest in the flesh. That sets him apart. There's nobody like him. You know, people talk about Buddha. They talk about Muhammad. They talk about Confucius. They talk about all kinds of different religions led by men and women. There's no one like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God manifest in the flesh. He's set apart. And he's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. The holy thing, the angel called him. That's not a term of derision. That's just simply saying there's no one else like him. He's set apart. And he was set apart on the cross. He set himself apart. You know, Christ was not forced by men and women to go to the cross. He wasn't taken by surprise. When Judas brought the soldiers and the Roman soldiers and the soldiers who were in the Jewish Sanhedrin court, when he brought them into the garden to take Christ, when Christ looked at him, he said, "Who do you seek?" And they said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am." And you remember what happened? They fell backward. And then he asked it again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "If you take me, let these go." And that's how it goes with the salvation of his people. He was taken into custody, tried unjustly in man's court. But he, having the sins of his people charged to his account, went under the wrath of God, separated himself from man, and went under the wrath of God to satisfy justice, put away the sins of his people, all for whom he died, they shall be saved. And that's what he's talking about here. He said, and for, verse 19, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, I set myself apart to do this work on the cross, to die and be buried and raised again the third day for the salvation of his people." And the result of that, in verse 19, "that they also might be sanctified," truly sanctified, "through the truth." In other words, what he's saying is that those for whom he sanctified himself on that cross, those for whom he died, they're going to hear and believe the truth. They're going to hear it and believe it. And that's where we come to the title of the message. Those who shall believe. Look at verse 20. Now listen to this. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone." that is for those disciples that were with him, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. In other words, he's praying for the whole election of grace, all the elect of God, every chosen sinner whose name was written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. And their election and their justification, that is being forgiven of all their sins by the blood of Jesus Christ and being declared righteous based upon his righteousness imputed, that justification and their redemption by the blood will be evidenced by the Holy Spirit coming in time and bringing them under the gospel, separating them out and bringing them under the gospel and giving them life from above. That's called the new birth. Born again from above. They'll be given a spirit, given spiritual life. You see, by nature, we're all spiritually dead. We fell in Adam into spiritual death and depravity and sin. And by nature, if left to ourselves, we will not believe on him. The Bible teaches that. And John chapter 1 talks about those who receive Christ. Not because of any physical connection. It's not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh or the works of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's not by the free will of man, as people call it today. Man doesn't have a free will in that sense. He can choose what he wants, but the Bible says that by nature, all we'll want is the things that deny the glory of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, that's how we're born naturally. But if we're one of God's chosen people, for whom Christ died and for whom he's praying here, interceding, at some point in time, that God, a time that God has appointed. Paul said it in Galatians 1, when it pleased the Lord to reveal his Son in me. At some point in time, God's going to bring you under the preaching of the true gospel. Not a false gospel, but the true gospel. And the Holy Spirit's going to empower that gospel to your salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that's going to be evidenced by your believing that gospel. God's going to give you the gift of faith. And it is a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not all have faith. Well, God gives faith to his people whom he gave to Christ and for whom Christ set himself apart. So he says, verse 20, again, look at it. Neither pray I for these alone. Now, I'm not just praying for Peter and James and John and Andrew and the other disciples. There were the 11. Judas has already been exposed. And there's the 11 apostles. And then I believe Paul eventually was made the 12th apostle. So 12 apostles. But some say that Matthias, whom they chose. But that's not an issue for us to argue over or divide over. But he had those 11 disciples, but there were more disciples there. There were more. And so now in the upper room, there were just those 11 and Judas left. But I'm talking about disciples that were in the world, in Judea there. There were others. For example, there was Stephen. There was Philip. So we can talk about others. But he says, I'm not just praying for these 11. I'm praying for all of them who shall believe on me through their word. And look at verse 21. He says, that they all may be one, united, see, in together. One faith, one baptism, one spirit, one church. Not 50 different denominations who believe different things. But they all may be one, united in Christ, baptized into Christ, believing the same gospel. that gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed to his people. What is that righteousness? It's the merit, the worth, the value of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of his people. It's his righteousness imputed to them, charged to them, accounted to them. And they'll hear that word and they'll believe it, and they'll be made one, united in the faith. And he says in verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, united, the Father and the Son in union. And we could say the Spirit too. He's the third person of the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, and Spirit are in union, united. John wrote in 1 John 1, he said, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. And how does that come about? By the Holy Spirit bringing us to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works and idolatry. And he says, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that's the union of the Father and the Son, that they also may be one in us, again, our fellowship with the Father and Son, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, when he says the world there, he's not talking about everyone without exception. You know better than that. Because everyone without exception does not believe in him. They're not one with the Father and the Son. It's only believers. But these believers, they exist all over this world throughout time. From the very first believer that's mentioned, I believe Adam was a believer, but Abel, all the way to the last one who will be brought into the kingdom just prior to the second coming of Christ. And they're all over the world. They're not just Jews. God has a chosen people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. And when he talks about the Spirit coming to convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, the world there refers to God's elect who are all over this world. Asia, Africa, North America, South America, wherever you find them. That's why Christ said when he was talking about the end times, he said the gospel must be preached in every nation. If it hasn't already, it will be. With our modern technology, I believe that it's already taken place. But God has a chosen people, and he says they will believe on him, those who shall believe. And their believing it is a guarantee because of what Christ has done. And let me show you that. Look back over in John chapter 6. Now, we've already gone over this, but just as a reminder, and you think about in what he's talking about here, he's revealing himself as the water of life back in John 4. Now he's revealing himself as the bread of life. But there were so many who heard him preach the gospel, and they walked away in unbelief. They didn't believe in it. Now, that's the way all of us would be apart from the grace and power of God. It's God who gives faith. He gives life to the dead. He gives faith. He grants repentance to his people. And so Christ said in verse 36, well, look at verse 35 of John 6. He said, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Just like he said back in John 4, he that cometh to me shall never thirst. I'm the water of life. He's both. So he says in verse 35, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But look at verse 36. He says, but I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. Most of them didn't believe. And as I said, man left to himself will not believe. If you're a believer today, and I believe I'm a believer, if you're truly a believer, you're saved by God's grace and power, not your own. it's by God's will, not your own. Even God makes His people willing in the day of His power. But He changes our will. See, our will is against God. Our natural will is against the true and living God. Now, it's not against false religion and works-based religion and salvation conditioned on ourselves. We like that because that gives us room to glory. But our natural wills are in opposition to God's gospel and His way of salvation. But the Bible says that in the new birth, by the power of the Spirit coming out from Christ, God makes His people willing in the day of His power. So He says, you all have seen me and you believe not. But look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's those who shall believe. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, a lot of people, when they hear about election or they hear all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, they will reason, and sinfully so, because they hate the doctrine of election. They hate the doctrines that glorify God. They might say something like this, well, then it doesn't matter what I do. I don't have to seek the Lord if I'm not one of His elect. I can come to Him and He won't save me. That's a lie. Anybody and everybody who comes to Christ seeking salvation God's way will find it. Christ has never and will never turn any sinner away. And those sinners whom He receives, that's God's elect. That's what He said. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, that's those who shall believe. And that's what He teaches. And we'll continue this thought, because it's so important for us to understand that if we're saved, it's only by God's grace. It's not because of what we did or decided. It's of God in Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.